7:47. It's John, Jay, and Rich. Just to give you a little inside scoop going on here in the studio, Carrie was partying with Shaquille O'Neal last night. Didn't get home until at all this morning. She went from Phoenix partying with Shaquille O'Neal directly to the studio. And what you just said to me that reminded me of, because she's like taking a nap during a song, is that you were up the night before last at 1:30 in the morning because your little ordeal, which happened yesterday at this time.
That we're not allowed to talk about ever again. Whereby you busted your boyfriend cheating.
Yeah.
So that's been, I mean, how many hours is that straight without sleep? 36?
Well, about
36 hours without sleep. I don't think I've ever done that before.
And you're supposed to be moving.
Except one time I was on a binge in Miami Beach one time with Tatum O'Neal and Glenn Campbell.
That was a TV show.
And that wasn't you. That was that guy Mike that worked here. Remember?
No, using this as a reference. But we were all up all night on China White.
I'm glad though. You know what? It kind of stinks that I'm, because normally I'm so high strung and I'm kind of mellow today, but I wouldn't trade it. It was so much fun last night.
And now you have a date with a Phoenix Sun and she has no idea who he is.
Yeah, or his what his name, what he does for
so
a living.
Sweet.
Well, he's a Phoenix Sun.
Yeah,
you know
but
why?
What position?
Oh, God.
I think he's actually...
Was that a center?
Well, they're all tall.
That's a basketball player.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Does he have your number to call you?
He had. When I tell you, they were like flipping pizza box diamond earrings. Not that I get wrapped up in stuff like
that.
Was
there
pizza in there? Like, no, that big a square.
Cheese
like,
in the crust?
The biggest. But the reason why I was like, okay, I'll go on a date with you is because he's abstained from sex for like 8 years.
That's a great line.
Like,
okay,
no, I do know.
I'm in the NBA. I make millions, so I meet this woman.
Randy.
This hot chick. Yeah. No, and you said you were starting out interviewing people by saying, I'm not here to have sex.
Don't think I'm one of them chicks.
Right. So you say that. So then he says, well, I abstain. I don't even do that, which makes him more attractive to you. Meanwhile, he probably just got done hooking up with a few cheerleaders early in the hotel room. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. Randy, because Randy asked him in-depth questions too, and he's seriously hasn't done anything.
Like Randy's ever asked anybody anything in-depth.
He did!
I asked him about self-gratification, and not even that for years. Years.
Hmm.
He's
so
cool.
Lying to
he
you.
Doesn't compliment himself. Is that what you're saying? That's sad. That's low self-esteem.
And nobody knows what NBA player this is. And you're going out on a date with him.
I don't want to say anyway, actually.
Oh, okay. Is he going to call you or are you going to call him?
Yeah, 10:30.
He's calling you.
Here.
This guy is calling you.
Why didn't you have him call during the show?
No.
What a way to start off.
Hey, would you guys be mad? Yeah, well, this is a stupid question. Maybe, just maybe, I'll never talk about who I date again. Just maybe.
No, let me tell you something. If
that's
you,
fine, wait. But you'll never ever have a radio job.
You're like, yeah, you want to clean the lobby?
If you start dating a Phoenix Sun, you are going to talk about it.
Well, I don't think
so. And you better tell this Phoenix Sun that, this Phoenician Sun.
What if Carrie's like hanging out with Eva Longoria at the games and the Suns play the Spurs?
Oh,
she's
God.
Sitting in the crowd with her.
I demand that you do that. We have to know who it is.
Well, gosh, I can't believe the guy's calling you at 10:30 and you're going out with the Phoenix Sun. And see, that's what a way to start out on Monday. We're on the air in Phoenix.
We are?
Yeah,
I'm totally not ready for that.
Neither am I. But Carrie is, because she'll be dating already. You got to dial in.
He's
there.
So dang tall, though. 6'8". I'm 5'8". Hey there, foot higher than me. It's
that
weird.
That's so cool.
That's what I'll call him as well.
Yeah. Oh, my God. He's like 2 feet higher than you.
All right, so movies opening today. We have our friends Dawn and John. I don't know what is opening today. Is Brokeback Mountain even open, you guys? Do you guys, anybody know?
It opened in more screens.
It opened and died, I think.
Hello, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I think the ones that are really opening today, of course, we haven't seen any of them, but they're Grandma's Boy, Blood Rain, and Hostel.
Hostel is supposed to be unbelievably dark.
It sure looks like it.
It's one of those low-budget ones that's probably just creepy. And we can see it this weekend and review it Monday if you want.
That'd be great. Will you call me? Will you call me if you go somewhere in town? I want to go with you guys.
Okay.
I want to be part of the process.
Okay, that sounds good.
Right, that would be great.
Do your thing.
Okay, so we're gonna do Fun with Dick and Jane in Munich. I know those are a little bit older, but they opened over the holidays, so people may not have seen them yet, but we thought we'd talk about them.
Bring it on.
All right, well, now, Fun with Dick and Jane, I personally did not believe that there could be anything funny about cases like Enron, where corporate greed and dishonesty led to financial ruin of American families. And the good news is that with Dick and Jane pretty much proves that I was exactly right. There isn't anything funny about it.
I
there
loved
is
it.
Too. I I thought it was funny too, Carrie.
Yeah.
Well, okay, here's the story. So Fun and Dick and Jane is actually, if you can believe it, another remake, but it's a remake of an original movie from 1977. But the good news is there's been a whole lot of great examples of crooked behavior in corporate America for them to use to make this funny, funny, funny. So the movie shows a classic example of the man screwing his employees and shareholders while getting rich and causing the company to fail. So Dick, who's played by, of course, Jim Carrey, is suddenly, for some reason, promoted to VP in his company, only to take the fall for the corruption of the CEO, and he loses his job. But in the same time, Taya Leone's character, Jane, quits her job thinking that, you know, he's going to be VP, he's going to make lots of money, so she doesn't need to work. Well, he loses his role, and now there's 6,000 people on the street trying to find jobs. So they become desperate to make money. They subject themselves to medical experimentation. They resort to paying bills with their appliances.
It's so damn funny. Do you know my favorite part was when Jim Carrey, he decides to be like the Walmart person that welcomes people. But dude, it's so funny because it's like this all like, hail in our Hector! And he's like, faces him. It's because he gets in trouble if every single person he has to say hi to. It's right. This one lady slips him in. They're like, she's like dipping and dodging. And
he runs after like he's stalking her.
He's not even say hi, welcome to Walmart.
It's so damn funny. It's really funny.
Go to Walmart and you get the same entertainment from anyone that's doing that job.
I got to tell you, if someone pitched me a movie and said, okay, Jim Carrey's a Walmart greeter, how would you not go see that?
It's funny because there's this, do you know the scene I'm talking about? That lady's like, I need an hour.
Yeah.
And the reaction he has,
overacting.
No, because you totally know she has horrible right. breath, and he just kind of like covers his whole face. It's so funny. God, it was funny.
He does the Ace Ventura thing. That's
never bad for him. Yeah. He's good at that stuff. So then, don't they start robbing banks and stuff to make money?
About an hour and 20 minutes into it.
But, you know, they build up to the fact that they're completely, completely destitute, so you will believe that they need to become world-class thieves in order to provide income for their family and devise a plan to stick it to the man.
I know Carrie and Don like this one, but I like the fact that it poked at WorldCom and Enron. At the end of the movie, they actually run credits that say special thanks to people like Kenneth Lay. Which is funny. You're right. The credits actually got funny. That's where it started. But the rest of it pretty much made us all victims. I
thought it was so dang. Like, there's two parts that I love. First of all, they're like, their water gets turned off. So
yeah.
They have this scene.
That's funny.
No, listen, they have this scene where they're like all soaked up and lathered. And they're, you know how like the sprinkler, it like goes, and then it goes back. They're like moving with the sprinkler, all three of them scrubbing. It's so funny. And then listen, so I guess they don't pay on their landscaping. So they come and take, literally take all their grass and all their trees out of their front yard.
They get their grass
refilled. Yeah, 4 months later, they write the check, and 4 months later, the guy shows up and says, your check bounced, and collects all the grass.
But it's so funny, because you see him going to, like, rent like a Baskin Robbins and taking a bush and a golf course, and like he like tries to re-puzzle the, like, you know, redo the yard. It's so funny. God, it was so funny.
I thought it was really funny when he decides he's going to stand in line with the Mexicans and try to get day jobs. And, of course, he loses his license and he gets deported to Mexico.
No, the only funny part of that is Ron Howard's brother, Clint Howard, is an INS agent. And he shows up. He's in the movie like 30 seconds. And he shows up and he asks for IDs from the illegal immigrants.
Yeah.
And their IDs are all fake. So he's reading their names. And one of the names is Opie Taylor. So that was a little bit funny.
It is Ron Howard's brother. It's funny.
Okay, what about Munich?
Okay.
Munich.
You were ready for that.
Drastic switch there. Okay, hold on. All right, Munich is, of course, about the evolution of the sociopolitical distribution of Middle Eastern landmass as affected by the bilateral aggression of cultural and ancestral aligned factions, specifically as affected by the covert action of the Mojahed operatives against Mohammed Abdul Muhammad.
John, what the heck are you talking about?
I have no freaking idea.
That's
you should try and see this movie. That's how it goes.
Okay, let me break it down for you. Okay, so this is Spielberg, and in true Spielberg fashion, he takes a very difficult and horrifying subject and tells a compelling story. Munich is based on the true events combined with artistic license. I really do think he had quite a bit of artistic license in this, and delivering an intriguing characters and a gripping story. And the movie starts in 1972 at the Munich Olympic Games, and a group of, and this is real, this part is all true, is a group of Palestinians take hostage and slaughter most of the Israeli Olympic team.
Ooh.
I know, it's very, very dark, definitely. And these true events are weaved together with the story of the efforts of a special Israeli team that is put together to track down and kill each of the 11 Palestinians that had a hand in planning those murders. So the story shows the gripping journey of each of the Israelis and what they do to carry out the wishes of their government.
It's like Olympic death wish.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's really crazy. And they have to struggle with emotional and spiritual and moral issues. And the movie really shows a good kind of quest between, you know, humanity versus inhumanity. And the lines between good and evil can be really blurred.
Why would you go see this, though? Because it sounds like this is one of those advanced got to see it for school movies.
Well, here's some insight for you. This is what I got from it. Munich, the name of the movie Munich, is actually a city in Germany.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, and that's why they call it the Munich Olympics, because they were in the city Munich in Germany.
Got it. But you know, in Germany they don't call it Munich.
What do they call it?
München.
München, I think.
I said München.
See, now the whole movie's blown.
The one thing that John learned in the movie.
München, I would like to go visit because that sounds like a buffet place.
Let me tell you something. I was there. In 1989, I was there, and I had no idea the Olympics ever took place there.
Right?
I had no idea that there was a historical moment there.
Thank you, Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, they probably don't want to highlight that very much.
I was at the Hofbräu House.
Oh, cool.
Had some beers, but I don't remember anything about the Olympics.
So why would anybody go see this then?
Well, that's exactly what I thought. I mean, Steven Spielberg is a masterful filmmaker, and he does an excellent job with this, but it's too good. The acting's too good. The characters are too realistic. It's too accurate, and I lose track. I mean, he should have named all the characters Tom, Dick, and Harry, and I would have been able to keep track of them. I mean, Don will tell you
Good Israeli names.
Yeah, but Don will tell you that I'm not the smartest guy that goes to movies, but I've had a lot of what you call it, schooling or whatever, and I should be able to keep track of the movie, and I cannot keep track of this one. And at the end of it, it's really the Private Ryan of a different war, but it's a war that's all guts and no glory. It's terrorism, and in the end, you just kind of say, that was a great depiction of what happened, but I don't really needed to see it. So,
well, you know, Rich, how I said that a good movie should either be entertaining or enlightening.
Yes.
This one is not entertaining. This one is on the enlightening side.
Yeah.
He does a really, really good job of telling a horrible story.
You know how I say that enlightening means nothing to me at the theater?
I'm right. Yeah. He did say that. This one's enlightening if you can follow it, and if you're not going for an enlightening movie, you probably... I mean, there are some Private Ryan moments where there's a lot of shooting going on, which is kind of neat to see, but other than that, go to King Kong instead.
That's cool.
They need the money at King Kong. They're dying over there. Go over there.
Does the star ever get mad and turn into the Hulk? Is that who's the star? Is Eric Bana? All right, y'all. Thanks for being on the show. Maybe we'll talk to you next week and get a review of Hostel, which will probably be number one, I bet.
Yeah, we'll check it out and we'll call Rich and we'll go see it.
Okie dokie.
Okay.
Right,
okay.
Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Coming up next, Randy and Mike Tyson on John Jane.